Listen to Today with Sean O'Rourke with the RTE Radio Player.
Yesterday at the High Court, lawyers for the former Rehab Chief Executive Angela Cairns claimed that members of the Doyle's Public Accounts Committee had engaged in a witch hunt when she appeared before the committee last February. The lawyers also claimed that she lost her job and suffered illness as a result. Ms. Cairns has filed a court action for arising from the committee's investigation into the disability group. Earlier on Morning Ireland Today, the Public Accounts Committee Chairman John McGuinness said the PAC will be strongly defending its position in the courts.
This affidavit has been lodged with the High Court. I understand that now there's a number of months within which the papers will be served on the Oireachtas. Prior to that and leading up to the serving of the papers, we will be putting together our case and defending our position robustly. I mean, the Oireachtas and the Public Accounts Committee is there to carry out a particular function. We carried out that function within our remit. Well, because of the fact that this is a case brought by one person yesterday before the court, we did not have the opportunity to defend the position. Therefore, what you're reading now is the account of one person about their position, and in this case against the Public Accounts Committee. The Public Accounts Committee will have to defend the case, and the state will have to, I'm sure, or the Oireachtas Commission will have to pay for the legal costs. But this is something that has to be challenged, because fundamental to this is the accountability of agencies and individuals within agencies and so on that are funded by the government to account for themselves.
And that's John McGuinness, a Fianna Fáil TD and chairperson of the Public Accounts Committee. With me in studio, Tom Lyons, senior business correspondent of the Irish Times. Tom, this is all very complicated, but just tell us what happened in court yesterday. Was Angela Cairns there herself, for instance?
No, she wasn't. She was represented by Eames solicitors and John Rogers, the former Attorney General. He was her senior counsel. So she had a pretty heavy-hitting legal team, and they were making some very serious allegations, Sean. I mean, they accused the Public Accounts Committee of acting with bias, of acting with unfairness, of going beyond its remit in the line of questioning that they took against her and in the types of statements they made both in the committee and outside in the media. And she said ultimately she felt that they had cost her her job and she had been defamed. And she said that this had led to her being hospitalised for 10 days.
And what kind of supporting documentation, quite an amount I gather, has been presented?
Well,
or at least is available?
In court, Justice John Hedigan, there was so much evidence of this being presented. You know, we heard, you know, John Rogers questioning why was Angela Cairns, who works for a private company, why was she being quizzed about her what car she drove, what company car she drove? He outlined many times where members of the Public Accounts Committee made damaging statements about her, which weren't questions. And that they weren't questions in relation to public money. They were just general statements about her character, which he felt was very, very damaging. And I think what we saw was that they've clearly gone through everything that was ever said about Angela Cairns, and they feel that they've got a very strong case.
There appear to be, what is it, two strands to the High Court action. She's seeking an injunction and compensation.
She's seeking 11 things in total, Sean. She's seeking an injunction that she wants them to stop inquiring into her, but she also wants a declaration that what happened was unfair. She wants a declaration that they accept that they acted with bias. She's saying that she's seeking damages based that she felt that her constitutional rights were impacted, and she felt that she was defamed. She's seeking costs, and she's saying that, you know, she wants to, you know, that if there's any report produced into rehab, that it stick to the Public Accounts Committee's remit and not impugn her character or talk about things which related to her private affairs.
So is she seeking to have the exchanges that took place that she argues were beyond the remit of the committee to have those expunged from the record?
Essentially, she's saying that's it. And she's saying that she wants the Public Accounts Committee to accept and declare that they acted unfairly and with bias. So that's going to be quite a climb down for all involved if it comes to pass.
Well, Well, clearly it's shaping up to be the mother of all legal battles, if what John McGuinness had to say on Morning Ireland is any indication. It doesn't stop with the Public Accounts Committee, though, does it? I think Dáil Éireann is brought into the proceedings as well. Is that right?
Well, that's it. I mean, one of the things afterwards, there's a statement handed out by Angela Kearns' legal advisors, Eames, and basically she said that, you know, that they thought that this case raises important legal issues of the rights of every individual in this state, the conduct of the committees of the Parliament, and of constitutional law. So I think what she's doing here will have implications for the banking inquiry, for example, Sean, and in terms of people who are going in to be interviewed, say, by Oireachtas committees, that they should have a sense, that she wants them to have a sense of what type of questions they're going to be asked, what are the ground rules, rather than you go in there and, as she alleges she experienced, you know, you go in there and you get your character, your personality and your private affairs attacked, rather than facing tough questions solely in relation to public funds.
As you say, John Rogers is quite the heavy hitter. If you're going into to battle in the High Court, they don't come much bigger in terms of beasts in the forest than him in the legal forest.
No, they don't, Sean, and it was remarkable. I mean, this only, you know, it went whipped around the places these things tend to just before 2 p.m. that something was going to happen. And the fact that he could go in there and straight away at 2 p.m. begin to present, and everyone, like, I mean, it was a packed courtroom at other court cases. They all stepped back, and for the guts of 40 minutes, I mean, he went through a lot of material, and he presented it very, you know, with great gravitas, and it was pretty convincing. And, although we haven't heard the other side of the case.
Actually. Yes, it was, I think, what's called ex parte proceedings, at least that just one side of the case was heard. So what happens now then, Tom?
Well, we know that the next date that this is going to be heard is in November. And we know that by then, John McGuinness has said they will have taken legal advice and they will have prepared a response. He feels that they can defend everything. So this case is going to play itself out. There's also a sense that there's somewhere between 800 and 1,000 different articles and radio interviews done during that period of time, where members of the Public Accounts Committee all commented on Angela Kearns. I suspect that those commentary will be analysed. And if people wrote things either in newspaper articles or did interviews where they said things outside the Dáil, there could be issues there. And I think also we saw that, Frank Flannery, another former chief executive of Rehab, he hasn't really been ruling things in or out. So we might hear from him too further down the line.
Yes, he was here last week. And in fact, he was, I think he came out swinging, as the phrase you would use, against Fine Gael at the McGill Summer School in Donegal last night, and how the party has been performing electorally in government in the last couple of years. Perhaps we'll be discussing that up there tomorrow. We're up there, as I said earlier, doing the programme from the Highland Hotel in Glenties. But Tom, elsewhere in the courts, another familiar figure appeared. Bill Cullen was there. Well, the businessman.
In an entirely separate case. And he was representing himself related to debts of 11.5 million owed to Ulster Bank. And he was saying that he was usually irritated by his treatment by receivers to his various properties. He said that they've sold about 8.3 million euros worth of property, so paying off most of his debt. And he said that there was another 8 properties to be sold. And he felt it was clear that these properties were going to more than cover his debts. And he felt that he was being badly treated by the receivers, and he said that he wanted to have a declaration that their appointment was null and void, and that he also wanted a statement declaring that he owned these properties.
What's interesting in this case is that he is what would be described as a lay litigant. In other words, he is representing himself. No John Rogers in his case.
No, and I think that reflects, Sean, just how, you know, this guy would have been considered one of the wealthiest men in Ireland, how tough the times are for him. And he admitted in court, you know, he named about 20 people that he was suing, and he admitted that, you know, maybe he did pick out too many and he needed to focus a little bit. But as he explained, he was representing himself. He was accompanied by his partner, Jackie Lavin, and he felt that this was something he just had to do.
But is this a case that's initiated by him, or is it that he's there as a result of a legal move by Ulster Bank?
this is a case that has been initiated by him because he's unhappy with his treatment, and he's unhappy that they've seized all of these assets, and he feels that they've been heavy-handed with him, and that there is no need to take all of them because he said it's quite clear I'll be able to repay all my debts, and that some of these properties should be allowed to remain in my control.
And what was the upshot then of his day out in court?
Well, the upshot with all of these things quite often is, Sean, is it's another day out in court when we're going to have to hear Ulster Bank's defence in full, and, you know, there's going to have to be a decision made by Judge Peter Kelly.
Tom, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Tom Lyons there, Senior Business Correspondent with the Irish Times.